Welcome to 95 Mac Daily for Tuesday, August 30th, 2022. I'm Chance Miller. We are sponsored this week by Collide. Leading off today, Apple has started the trademark application process for a variety of names related to its forthcoming virtual reality, augmented reality headset. Bloomberg reports that subsidiaries linked to Apple have applied for trademarks for names including Reality One, Reality Pro, and the Reality Processor. But it's important to keep in mind that we should not expect the headset to appear as part of the iPhone 14 event next week, and the most recent rumors say we can expect a product launch sometime in early 2023. Apple's interest in the Reality branding has been known as far back as 2017, when reports surfaced that Apple was working on something called Reality OS. In 2019, Apple published a developer framework renamed RealityKit to help create augmented reality experiences. Of course, there's no guarantee that Apple uses any of the proposed trademarks, such as Reality One or Reality Pro. These trademarks have not yet been granted, but something like Reality One does make a lot of sense, as the AR headset would be Apple's first product in this space. Reality Pro is also viable, as the first generation headset is rumored to come with a high-end specification list and a high-end price tag, making it a high-end pro-level device rather than one meant for the everyday consumer. But for now, we're still waiting to learn more about this first version of Apple's headset, and we're still at least 6 months away from an announcement. In other news today, with its upcoming launch of iOS 16 and macOS Ventura, Apple will launch a new feature called Passkeys. The Passkey standard is described as unique digital keys designed to replace the need for passwords altogether, with streamlined sign-in across your devices, websites, and apps. The flow for logging in with a passkey will work similar to using iCloud Keychain and Face ID or Touch ID, but the difference is that instead of choosing a credential from iCloud Keychain and then automatically filling your password and username into the text fields, you'll choose or create a passkey as your login method. Passkeys are synced across your devices using iCloud Keychain with end-to-end encryption, so even Apple can't view that information. It all relies on a digital key that is unique to your account. This digital key stays on your device, and each passkey you create is unique to that app, website, or service. The use of passkeys in iOS 16 and macOS Ventura will require that you also have two-factor authentication enabled for your iCloud account, providing yet another layer of protection. While this may sound like a roadblock that could inhibit the adoption of passkeys among users, Apple says this won't be the case. Apple confirmed to 9to5Mac that over 95% of iCloud users already have two-factor authentication enabled on their accounts. This is an incredibly high percentage, likely spurred by Apple's requirement that two-factor be enabled for accessing certain features. For instance, you'll have to have two-factor authentication to use AirTags, Apple Card, Apple Cash, iCloud Keychain, and a number of other features. Support for passkeys will launch as part of iOS 16 and macOS Ventura, which are expected to launch in September and October, respectively. But the adoption of passkeys requires developers to update their apps and websites to support the new standard. So this means there won't be an instant transition even once iOS 16 and macOS Ventura are released. But Apple has confirmed that it's working closely with a number of developers to integrate passkeys into their applications, guaranteeing that we'll see day one support from some apps and websites next month. Ultimately, passkeys are a major step in the right direction to eliminate the use of usernames and passwords altogether. Passwords are the weakest link in digital security today. Many people choose a password and then use it across multiple different apps or websites. And passwords can also be leaked in database breaches and obtained via phishing attacks. Passkeys address all of these issues and let users transition to a completely passwordless lifestyle, relying on public key cryptography instead. We are sponsored this week by Collide. Collide is an endpoint security solution that uses the most powerful, untapped resource in IT, the end user. Old-school device management tools like MDMs force disruptive agents onto employee devices that slow performance and treat privacy as an afterthought. But Collide takes a different approach and notifies your team via Slack when their devices are insecure. They give step-by-step instructions on how to solve the problem. This allows Collide to help you build a culture in which everyone contributes to security because everyone understands how and why to do it. To put users first and meet your security goals, just hit the link in the show notes or visit collide.com/9to5MacDaily to find out how. They'll also hook you up with a goodie bag, including a t-shirt, for activating just a free trial. That's KOLIDE.com/9to5MacDaily. Rounding out today, we have additional details on what to expect from the camera of the iPhone 14 Pro. According to reliable Apple analyst Ming-Chi Kuo, this year's high-end iPhone models will feature a new ultra-wide lens with larger pixels. This ultra-wide lens will come to the iPhone 14 Pro and iPhone 14 Pro Max, and this larger sensor will also result in larger pixels. Having a sensor with larger pixels enables the capture of images with more light and less noise without relying as heavily on post-processing. So this ultra-wide lens should be significantly better, especially in situations of low light. The iPhone 13 Pro and iPhone 13 Pro Max both feature a 12-megapixel ultra-wide lens with 1 micrometer pixel. The iPhone 14 Pro, however, is expected to feature 1.4 micrometer pixels. This is a notable increase, especially since the ultra-wide lens hasn't seen any major improvements since it was first launched. And of course, this upgrade will come in tandem with an upgraded wide lens capable of 48 megapixel images and support for taking video in 8K resolution. The front camera, meanwhile, will have a larger f1.9 aperture with autofocus, marking the first time that autofocus has come to the selfie camera. And of course, all of this hardware will be enhanced by Apple's post-processing and algorithmic camera technology, and we're expecting a number of new iOS features designed to tap into this new hardware. That wraps up another episode of 9to5MacDaily. As always, you can find all of the latest Apple news on 9to5Mac.com. Follow along with me on Twitter at Chance H. Miller, and be sure to come back tomorrow for a new episode of 9to5MacDaily.